morning. This is Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We're here every Saturday morning right here on News Talk 870. As always, you can contact me, Lance Kenmore, anytime direct on my cell phone at 396-0577 or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. Once again, I always like to thank John for hosting and everybody here at the station for working to make this happen. John, how are things going with you?
Almost as busy as you've been.
Yeah, we did. We snuck in some travel this week, and then it seems like when you get back, you have condensed all of those missed days into that day you're back. So
and then the punishment starts.
Yeah, a little bit. But my team did just a big thanks to them. They just did absolutely fantastic while I was gone. Put quite a few homes into contract. Put some new listings on. So yeah, they really pulled together and helped me out a ton while we were having a little fun with the kids last week.
You know, you guys had a fun trip.
We did have a fun trip. I was very, very fortunate to, we actually took the kids down. I think most people that know us know we're a big hockey family. Mm-hmm. And so a huge thank you to Ole Kolzig, who had helped us arrange a trip where we went down with the kids and his Carson Kolzig Foundation. Anyway, we went down and went to the NHL Awards.
That's incredible.
The end of the season NHL Awards. And they had the Stanley Cup there, and Sidney Crosby was there with the cup. And luckily, I have a face for radio, so I would not have gotten to meet anybody. But luckily, my very cute daughter, who is not shy, just walked right up to Mr. Sidney Crosby and introduced herself.
That's so awesome.
And the players were just amazing. So it makes me love hockey more because all the players that were there in that organization put on an amazing show. And really, the big thing to me is just they were so amazing with our kids. And so I love that.
It's kind of like a bucket list item for you guys.
It was a huge bucket list item for us. And when you just see, like, I love when you see professionals, whether it be realtors, doctors, actors, but like really pour into kids that are passionate about being there and talk to them about it and what they did. So yeah, I came back twice as big of a hockey fan as when I went down there.
That's fun.
Not that this is a sports show, because this is a real estate show, but Las Vegas is getting an NHL expansion team. They announced it
yes.
At the show.
How about that?
And Westy with the Tri-City Americans, we deferred to him on that. So okay, what do you think? And he's already got the whole lowdown.
He's got
he
the
knows
whole
everything.
Lowdown.
Yeah.
I love it. So we'll stick to the real estate talk. But yeah, great show, great time, and big thanks to my team. They were just flawless while I was gone, and I really appreciate that. Tom Coyne over there with Umpqua, in-house lending specialist. Tom, how are things going with you?
You know, things are good. We're plugging right along. You know, extremely busy. Rates are absolutely incredible right now. I mean, I can't stress it enough. If you have a mortgage, which most people do, look at your mortgage statement, and if you think your rate could be better, call me. Let's just see if it makes sense to refinance or not. If it does, great. Maybe we could save you some money, take you from a 30-year to maybe a 20-year loan. Payment stays the same, and you cut time off. I mean, it's incredible how low rates are.
So, Tom, it's crazy. Not that I'm a global currency expert, but, you know, big things happened last week, and you see, like, you see Great Britain leave the EU,
yep. Mm-hmm.
Markets go into craziness, and then a lot of money runs to a solid position. Yep. And when you have a ton of money running into, you know, U.S. dollars in lending, it's keeping those rates. No one thought those rates would be where they were
absolutely
today.
Not.
But at the same time, I don't think anybody earlier this year thought Great Britain was going to leave the EU. So, you know, it's funny in real estate where we have these world events that are helping drive a local real estate market, meaning we still have those low rates when no one thought we would be here.
You know, when those stock prices go down and bond prices go up a little bit, it really helps interest rates. So, yeah, it's an incredible time to get a mortgage right now.
Well, Tom, that's good insight there. Before we get, and I really wanted to use that as kind of our overriding global story that helps. So I'm glad you let in with that. We always like to do an update on crazy celebrity real estate, and even celebrity real estate ends up doing price reductions. But Pharrell, the singer, Happy, he had put his Miami penthouse condo on the market, on and off the market the last 2 years. We had featured it as a previously as a story, so I always like to do an update. When we ran the story last year, that condo had been on the market for $11 million. Crazy. I mean, gorgeous, on the water, penthouse, beautiful. But ended up having to finally get it sold at 9.25. So took about a $1.75 million haircut on that one, but did end up getting it sold. Now, granted, it was 9,000 square feet with six parking spaces. I don't think I've ever been in a condo that had six parking spaces.
I wonder where the HOA dues are on that.
Oh, my God. I bet they are.
It's probably ugly.
I bet they're ugly, ugly, ugly. So that was a really interesting one for sure. Now, on to our topic today, and I think there might be a lot of realtors out there that maybe don't want me to do this show, or have very differing opinions on these type of things that happen. But one of the things that I wanted to go over is I thought about where we were at and some of the things my team had to do while I was gone, and really looking at all the pieces of that puzzle. And that is, what are some of the things that happen after you have a contract on a house, from contract to closing, that maybe you wouldn't think a realtor would normally be doing? And how can these chain of events lead up to that? So I went back and we came up with some examples and stuff, because sometimes people are like, hey, you know, I think realtors just get paid too much money. I mean, I hear that sometimes. They're like, I don't understand. It's the paperwork's easy. I don't understand what else could possibly happen. So
it's a long list.
But we came up with a couple ones that are interesting. And there's some mini topics within this broader topic that we can talk about. And this time of year, number one, I came up with this, and this has happened before. And this time of year, one of the things that really comes up and rears its ugly head right now, and that is home maintenance, because we have the heat. And if I'm looking ahead at the forecast, I think the heat's coming next week, you know, back into the hundreds. And we've had a lot of moisture early, too. So when you have moisture and then you have heat, and you should see how quickly, I think you can watch weeds grow. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things that I put down was exterior home maintenance. And what happens a lot of times for people really to think about is clients will sometimes move out of state, and they will call us, and they get a job transfer, or something happens quickly, or a medical, maybe in a family emergency, and they have to move back home. So people will call us and they'll say, hey, I'm headed out of state. I need to get my house listed. And a lot of times they might only be here for a week, or they might be so busy in that 1 week that they say, let's just put the sign up when I'm gone. And so we a lot of times warn people ahead of time and say, okay, who's doing your lawn maintenance? Who's doing your care? And a lot of times people say, oh yeah, I've got a guy. He comes every 2 weeks, or he comes every week and mows the lawn. I'm covered. No problem. But then some things can happen. And a lot of times what happens is somebody leaves. That first week they're gone. We might sell the house. Everything looks fantastic. Yard looks great. They've got the guy coming. But it's amazing what happens when you're not there. Maybe you're used to every couple days going out in the yard or on the weekends, and you pull a couple of the big weeds you see. It's amazing what all of those small actions can lead up to when they're gone. And a lot of times, if you're paying a guy to mow the lawn, you're paying him $25 to come by once a week and mow the lawn. Well, I tell you what he does for that $25 sometimes. He mows the lawn, and that's it. Like, done deal. And what happens is maybe the flower beds get some additional weeds in them. Maybe a sprinkler ends up breaking, and no one's there. Normally you would see that, you know, in the afternoons or the evenings when you came home.
Speaking of that, the house across the street.
Yes.
Now the sprinklers are running.
Okay.
For 2 weeks during the transition, the lady moved away, health issues. They had an estate sale. She hadn't passed, but it's one of those situations.
So you've seen this.
2 weeks, no sprinklers.
Yes.
House looks like straw, the yard. But they're running the sprinklers, but you can tell.
You absolutely can tell. And so one of the things we're always talking to people about is is increasing the service level of your lawn and landscaping provider before you leave. It's worth it. If you're going to, I know it seems like a lot to people when they're like, but saying, okay, hey, instead of mowing lawn, I want you to mow lawn for an hour and a half, and I'm going to up that to $50 a week, you know, for the next 2 months while the house is on the market. The mow the lawn for an hour, hour and a half, and then spend an hour and a half, you know, pulling weeds, adjusting things, and trimming. So that can make a big, big difference. Also, another ideal scenario is if you can have a family member that you trust to be checking on the house. Now, I say family member you can trust, because we've also had the whole family member, oh, I've got a family member that's going to check on it. Well, a lot of times they got a lot of stuff going on. They might have their own life going on. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times those family members that are supposed to be checking on the house says, let me tell you, as soon as the brother-in-law leaves and I'm there at the house with them, I get the real story about what they think about that brother-in-law. And they're not too up to pulling a bunch of weeds for him while he's gone or maintaining the house. So that's another big one. And then a lot of times just making sure everything's still working. You know, a lot of times when we get older houses, like you get into like older Richland, older Central Kennewick, and a house is set vacant and nobody has ran the water, sometimes what comes out of those faucets and those pipes are not exactly what you're wanting to see. You know, they might settle, and then the water might, you know, get dirty or have a funny smell to it because it's been sitting in those pipes. So before someone is through the house and inspecting things and looking at things, having someone that can kind of run that water through, flush that system through, just keep the house as if it was being lived in, will make a huge, huge difference. So what are some of the things we've had to do before? I tell you what, I've had to, you know, put the jeans on and the gloves on, and you get 2 or 3 days before a closing and a client's out of town. And we've had to have an office weed pulling party before where it's like, hey, this isn't going to close. Who said they were supposed to be maintaining the house? And that's not in my contract. Like when I sign the listing agreement, it's not like pull weeds.
I'll pull your weeds. That's not in there.
And maintain house. Not in the contract. So we've had stuff where like a day or two before closing, you know, things have come up where someone wasn't checking on the house or didn't. Maybe they hired somebody to do it, but that person's schedule got, normally what happens is, yeah, I've got somebody that'll come over and clean up the house. A day before closing, we get the call, hey, I just got a call and that service provider flaked out on me and they can't do it. So we've had to, you know, get the office rallied up and go over there and pull a bunch of weeds, you know, because then maybe the buyer wasn't going to close. Is that what needs to be done? Absolutely, to get it to close. Is that written out in the realtor class? 100% no. You don't hear about that. So that was a big one, is sometimes we've done property maintenance like that before. The other thing, Tom, that sometimes comes up that we've done before is reinspect by appraisers. Mm-hmm. So where a lot of times an appraiser has gone up out and said, hey, you have peeling paint, you have debris in the crawl space, and you have straps that need to be on a water heater, and we're going to reinspect that.
I'm so glad you're seeing the water heater one.
Yes,
I see that all the time.
All the time. Water heaters that get changed out and installed need to have seismic straps around them, because if you go to resell that house, it's going to come up on appraisal. So a lot of times what happens is someone's like, oh yeah, I hired Joe to put the seismic straps on, and I hired the painter to do the paint, and the painter said he would get the debris out of the crawl space before. Well, I tell you what, I've been in North Richland on a 90 degree day before, because on the re-inspect, and we had to close the next day, on the re-inspect, they had the paint done and the water heater done, but guess what? No one wanted to crawl in the crawl space and get the debris out of there. So I've literally had to freaking, once again,
suit up,
jeans and gloves, and, you know, just head first into the crawl space and hucking stuff out to get that done. So it's funny, all of these things that come up along the way that happen that go into doing a great job as an agent. Another one that comes to mind too that happens is, I remember early in the spring, we had a huge rainstorm, an absolutely just huge rainstorm, and kind of one of our little monsoons. Well, the next day, it was a gorgeous day, sunny, gorgeous day, had a client that wanted to show a house that had a gorgeous backyard with a pool, and they wanted to see it at night. And when you have the gas torches going and the light on in the pool, looks great. Go over to the house to get everything set up. what happened in the rainstorm, the pool cover is absolutely drenched in water. It's just, it's packed. You can't open the pool. Hmm. And this is a big showing. Nice house. This could be the one that makes the sale, right? So what do? My son and I, and I always throw my kids into this because it's late at night or in the morning you find out about these things.
Right.
And we throw the pump in the pool to get the water off the pool cover. When we do that, the pump goes out. It gets like half the water out and the pump goes out. And so it is like... You know, I think it was a Sunday afternoon probably when we were doing this. So what are we doing? We're going to Mirage Pool and Spa, and we're buying a freaking pool pump for my client who's on vacation.
You just never know what's going
to
happen.
And can't. And so, like, you know, once again, there's not a manual that says go to Mirage Pool and Spa, buy pool pump, you know, sell house. and so, you know, we get a new pool pump, and we get the cover open, and it looks gorgeous. And it turns out in this scenario, that's the person that bought the house. And so all of these things... under the maintenance category can come up. And it's part of what makes our job, I find it fun and interesting, and we're problem solving as we go. But these are the types of things people don't see when we're signing those contracts and when they're hiring the Kenmore team.
You know, I like it because you never know what's going to come up. And like you said, that's what makes it fun, is that every day is different. Every transaction is different. But at the end of the day, you do whatever it takes to make the deal work.
Absolutely. So, Tom, when we come back, I'm going to have you talk about some things that are going on in the lending world, and we will be right back
right here on News Talk 870.
Welcome back to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. Today we kind of put together a show of what happens in real estate that doesn't happen or that you never thought you would be doing. So we talked a little bit before the show about, you know, property maintenance, and sometimes there's water, you know, that happens that needs to be turned on, you know, knowing where sprinkler valves are in vacant houses, working on that. I mean, the list goes on of the things that can happen. I've got two or three more great examples later in the segment. Before the segment, we talked a little bit about a couple different things. One of the memorable ones that I have sometimes is, especially I always think of this when it's about to get hot again, is I'll never forget on more than one occasion I've done pet sitting in the car for a signing, right? Because people have moved, they're in a U-Haul truck, they've got their dogs with them, it's 105 degrees out, you know, they want to keep the car running with the air conditioning going. Their dogs are in the car and they can't bring them into the signing appointment. So I can't tell you on a couple occasions where it's literally been just me and the golden retrievers in the car while my clients are in signing the documents. And so pet sitting was on the list, and I missed that chapter in the real estate test.
That's not in there.
It's not in there. So that was another great, great example. But Tom, what's going on in the lending world? Before the break, you talked a little bit about, I know you can't quote rates, but you should, if you've thought about checking rates, they're screaming low right now.
Yeah, it's an absolute incredible time to secure a mortgage. And, you know, if you're thinking about buying a house in the next 6 months, you might try to move that timeline up, because no one really knows how long these rates are going to be around.
We didn't think they were going to be here now.
No, there's no part of me I ever thought that. But if you think your next house is your end house, is never going to be in this house again, or you're already in that home, securing that rate now for the next 15, 20, 30 years, where if, who knows, in 5 years, the rates are just at 6% and that's what it is, and you're sitting there with your below 3% or low 3% interest rate, then you're sitting pretty good. So definitely look at your mortgage statement, see what your interest rate is now, or, you know, again, think about potentially moving up your timeline of when you want to move and list your current house and sell, just because of how good rates are. But, you know, Lance, we're talking about things that come up that are just kind of unexpected. And I of course have my list of things that come up in lending, and I could do four shows on this.
Right. But okay. This was a good topic.
I'm trying to narrow it down to just a few different items, but most of the issues that come up in an application or in processing comes down to how complete that borrower is when they're filling out their loan application. Now, most people don't leave stuff off or not entirely explain a situation because they're trying to be deceptive. They just don't realize how in-depth banks have to go these days in processing a loan. Now, this is especially true for people who financed, say, 10 years ago when financing was a lot easier. I hear it all the time. Like, well, I didn't have to do that on my last loan.
Yes.
But things have changed. And guess what? That's a good thing. Otherwise, we're going to be right back to where we were in 2008. So these things are for the good. But going into it and having realistic expectations of what's going to be required of you when getting a mortgage is very, very important. Now, the key, I think, is working with a seasoned loan officer who knows what questions to ask, or they look for little signs of things that you say, where when they ask you how much in your bank account and you say, well, I'm going to have X amount. Well, that going to have plays a big factor in what do we need to do? Where's that money coming from?
Right.
But lead right into that with assets, maybe not disclosing all assets at application. And then we get a bank statement in and we're analyzing the deposits that are coming in. And we see a transfer coming in from another account. Maybe it's a large transfer, but we don't have anything on this other account. We don't know if that was from a relative or what this other account is. So if you don't disclose all your accounts and something like that comes up, it could potentially delay the transaction or cause a bigger problem. Also, when we ask the balance and they state, well, I have $10,000 in my bank account, but they don't say, well, I don't actually have it yet. They leave that part out of it. Or they say, yeah, I got $10,000, but they don't tell us, well, that was actually a cash advance from a credit card, which is going to be a problem, or that money in the bank account was actually a gift, or maybe it came from a retirement account. You know, whatever you think that, I don't think they really even need to know this, just tell your loan officer, because they're probably going to know it. We have to go through everything, and a lot of the stuff's going to come up, and it's either going to do one of two things: delay the processing of your loan, or cause a problem and potentially allow you to not even get the loan. So uncovering those things up front at application, very, very important. Just remember to disclose everything. With income, some of the things we see a lot is they'll put on their loan application that they make, say, $5,000 a month. But then we get pay stubs, and they're not always working 40 hours a week, which would be $5,000 a month. Sometimes it's 37. And we do a quick average and see that it's not $5,000 a month. It's actually $4,700 a month. Maybe that $300 makes a difference on approved or not approved. Or they say, well, I've been working at my employer for 2 years, and they put that on the application. There's nothing to trigger us to ask for any more employers, because we only need 2 years of employment history. But then we're in processing and they're under contract with Lance's team, and we get a verification employment in, and they say, well, they've only been here a year and a half. Well, now we don't have 2 years of employment. So I'm going back to the client and saying, well, what were you doing before this? Then we find out, well, they were actually a stay-at-home dad for the last 4 years, and the last job they had was back in 2012. Well, that could be an issue.
Right, because, and Ben, some people, you know, a year and a half seems like 2 years. Oh, yeah, 2 years.
Round up.
Yep, absolutely. The older I get, I know time goes fast.
Banks don't round up, though.
Banks don't round.
No.
Okay, gotcha.
So make sure you're as detailed and specific as possible. Right there with income is tax deduction. And when we see a self-employed client, a lot of times they'll say, oh, yeah, I make $15,000 a month. But their tax returns will never show that amount. And that's because they hire an accountant, and the accountant does their job, and they have their deductions. And we're going to go all the way down to the bottom of the tax return, and not at the gross sales or gross receipts, but we're going to look at that adjusted gross income down at the bottom. So you may actually bring in $15,000 a month, but you have all these other expenses that then you're spending out after that. And really, your adjusted gross income is $4,000 a month or $6,000 a month. Or maybe your accountant gets it to a negative number, and then they're doing a really good job. You're not paying a whole lot of taxes, but then that's a problem with getting a loan. So one thing that we do on every file is, regardless of what the client tells us, we're not giving that approval letter out until we get those pay stubs, until we get the tax returns and the bank statements, because we're going to look for all these items that could potentially cause issues. And leading right in with someone who says, oh, I worked there 2 years. If we get a 2015 W-2 and everything looks great there, but 2014 is low, that's going to trigger me to say, well, why is this low? Did you get a raise? Did you get a promotion? And then it turns out, well, actually, I didn't work there for the first 3 months of that year. And so these certain things can come up. And like I said, working with a seasoned loan officer who knows what questions to ask and what things to look for that could potentially cause issues down the road, uncover them up front. And that way you go through processing nice and easy.
Tom, and I really appreciate that from our standpoint, too. A lot of times, you know, we're still in multiple offer position on a lot of our offers that we've been writing. And having that pre-approval letter from you and your staff, when we know we can count that that's been done, makes a big difference. If we're looking at three offers and two of them, you know, are from, you know, Rocket, you know, or I don't even know what they're called. I think I've seen a commercial like that or something, or, you know, Space Explorer Mortgage, and you know, and then we've got Tom Coyne at Umpqua. It makes a huge difference because I know you've gone through that process, and it makes a big difference too to our sellers that are deciding that. In fact, it was last night, you know, on an offer we were working on, it was the same type of thing that made a big difference. I'm, you know, texting back and forth with the agent, who's the lender, you know, are they local? Yes, I recognize the name. Great. And, you know, 8 minutes later, we have a pre-approval letter from that. You know, we know that's a real thing, mm-hmm. as opposed to, well, I think it is, you know, XYZ, you know, National Credit Union. And, you know, and we'll call the 1-800 number on Monday and then on Wednesday. No, the house is gone. You know, we've already decided with someone else. So,
you know, I see those commercials for like one-click loan approval or fill this form out and you a pre-approval letter instantly. How is that even possible? Because you got no real live person looking at the documents to see if you actually have a loan there or not.
Yeah, absolutely. So that makes a huge difference. So I really, really appreciate that. Now back to our stuff outside of real estate, but happens in real estate. So is it part of real estate? Does it help make a great team and a great agents? I think that additional level of customer service and sometimes just knowing that you have a problem solver on your team can make a big difference. So we talked a little bit about the pet sitting. Don't see that too often in the real estate magazines. The next one that I wanted to add in there is... sometimes being in waste management or the garbage industry is extremely helpful in real estate. So I wrote down underestimating the amount of garbage that is removed from a home when you move happens more often than people think in real estate. And so I can't tell you how many times we've gotten the panicked call. I've had clients call me crying because, you know, they've got the U-Haul packed up and they didn't get a big enough U-Haul. And I mean, they've shoved that door full and they're moving out and the garage still has a trailer load of garbage that is sitting in it, and maybe they don't have a truck or they don't have, you know, family in the area. And so I've gotten that call before of clients, you know, crying and saying, I don't know what we're supposed to do. You know, I'm really sorry, but, you know, we just pulled away in the U-Haul. And so as an agent, we're sitting here like, what do you mean you just pulled away?
Talk about the buyer going from a super high to a super low.
Right. Absolutely. And so, you know, what is that a contract term that stuff has to be removed? Is the seller responsible for that? Absolutely. 100% in the documents that we write. Does it always happen that way? So we have a list of service providers available that we can call. And, you know, we have, you know, Holloway companies, and we can help those clients get that information. But I got to tell you, sometimes it comes down to, like we've talked about, and this is the ones where it's difficult on those decisions, where it is, you know, 9:30 in the morning and they were moving the night before. The loan is supposed to fund and record in the afternoon, and the buyer goes by that house to do a final walkthrough, and the buyer says, I'm not recording on that loan until all of that garbage is removed. Well, when you have 3 hours to do something, I will tell you, there's been people laugh at me sometimes for driving my truck, but there's been one or two times where I've had to drive a truck over there, you know, and my agents and myself or my assistant have had to load that truck up and, you know, drive that garbage away, you know, and go to the dump and get rid of it to make a deal happen at the 11th hour.
You know, if you're a seller, leave the house how you'd want the people who you're buying the house from to leave your new house.
And the key to that situation is, I think a lot of people are willing to do that at times, but it's the underestimating. And I put underestimating the amount of work, the amount of garbage, the amount of time that it's going to take. So not starting the move process soon enough, or not leaving yourself a day of buffer. I mean, I got to tell you, one of the biggest things we see happen is people think it's going to take 2 days 2 days to move, and it ends up taking three. Or they think it's going to take a day to move, and it ends up they really needed a day and a half. So it can really become panic-stricken at the end of that process.
That was a panic-stricken person on the phone,
yes,
too,
with
the trailer and the garbage.
I think afterwards, I don't know what I'm going to do on a Saturday morning, but we did get a phone call there. I've got a listener to call back already. I hope it's not to haul garbage away. So those things come up and happen, and they happen at the 11th hour, but they can be prevented a lot of times, and we're constantly warning people about that, is that you're going to need a little extra time. And that's hard. I understand people are trying to simultaneously close at times, but you might need that truck for an extra day. You might need to load it a day before, and I know it's a convenience factor and a cost factor, but you might need to then have it sit loaded for a day. It might need to be reserved for an extra day, because a lot of times you can't get everything loaded and then get that house cleaned the way it needs to be ready for the buyer all in that same 12-hour period. Even with professional help, we find a lot of times that it takes longer than you think it said. So, and we've had to help clients move before on that last day. And once again, I missed the moving section, professional moving section in the real estate test. But once again, that underestimation, that panicked call of, I don't know how I'm going to get out of here. And the buyers just pulled up with their U-Haul truck, and we're supposed to be out at 9 p.m. And the buyers have parked their U-Haul truck across the street, and they're pressuring. I know they're going to want in at 9 tonight. And so, I mean, there's been many times before where we've been like, okay, well, my last appointment and closing is at 5. You know, we'll be over at 6, and we'll do what we can. And we're, you know, hucking boxes and stuff into the truck. So these are just a couple of those scenarios, and we educate and talk and communicate, and it doesn't happen very often, but sometimes it's just you can't prevent it. And so you've got to make that decision on what you can do to help get that deal closed. So if you're having any problems in you're thinking about selling your house, you don't want to tackle those types of projects, that type of stuff on your own, we would love a chance to interview for the job of helping represent you. And so that's all we ask, is if you're looking for a second opinion in probably the biggest financial transaction that you'll be involved in, please go to our website, KenMoreTeam.com. Shoot us a message. One of our amazing agents and myself will get back to you about that. And Tom, on the lending side, how can people take advantage of these low rates and get a hold of you?
Yeah, stand up right now. Go pull out your mortgage statement. If you think your rate is above 4.5% or more and you're looking to stay in your home, give me a call. Let's see if we can save you some money on your refinance. TomCoinHomeLoans.com, or reach me at the office, 783-7300.
And we'll be right back here next week.
Right here on News Talk 870.